Good morning to my beautiful brothers and sisters and visitors. It's just so lovely to see you all here and to hear those voices. Love the singing, beautiful. For a little while last night, I thought the Lord might provide us with a stormy backdrop to this sermon today. But in fact, we've got the calm, which is just wonderful, a good reminder. So, our gospel passage today is quite different from the activities leading up to it. We've seen Jesus travelling in Galilee, preaching the good news, performing many miracles, including healing the sick, restoring the infirm, casting out demons, and as we heard from Jamie last week, teaching about the mysteries of the kingdom of God in parables. Crowds kept gathering, so much so that Jesus got into a boat on the Lake of Galilee with the people along the shore. This is something he often did, and so the boat became his pulpit. Today's passage sees a change of pace, and rather than expanding on the nature of the kingdom of God, it focuses on this mysterious Jesus, with the disciples asking, "Who is this?" And it provides an amazing revelation. There are other messages for us too about faith and fear, which I hope to explore with you. This is a short passage, but Mark's details give rich meaning. It is the same day, in the evening, after a long day of teaching, healing and ministering to others, when Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." You might get a bit seasick as you watch these. It's quite deliberate. Now, let us go over to the other side. It's an interesting thing to say. Now, this would have been a longish journey as the lake or sea, it's called a sea, but it is actually a lake of Galilee, is 21 kilometres long and 13 kilometres wide, and it is some 209 to 215 metres below sea level, and it was surrounded by mountains and hills over which strong winds and storms could appear without warning. And the boats were powered by sails and oars. There could be 300 boats on this lake at any one time. But this is evening. The group would all have been tired, but Jesus is obviously in command and eager to go. So the disciples take him into the boat and set off. Note that Mark tells us there were other boats with him and that he went just as he was. So probably dressed as he was in daytime clothes and without a cloak to keep him warm on such a sea journey at night. And it seems that Jesus, while he had a purpose or mission to fulfill, was fairly relaxed about this journey, as we learn that he was asleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat. His human tiredness had caught up with him, and he did have at least five experienced fishermen with him who knew the sea, and so he could trust this sea journey to them. They're in control at this point, it seems. After they set sail, however, a furious squall came up and the waves were swamping the boat. All manner of chaos was happening with the wind and the waves. Yet Jesus was sleeping through this, and I had to ask myself, how could he do this? Supreme confidence, perhaps, even while sleeping? He knew he was in control. The disciples, despite their seamanship, were panicked and afraid and turned to Jesus. They actually had to wake him to get his attention. It's kind of interesting. I think this is the next one. There he is. And I love that artistic rendition of the sleeping Jesus. So they had to actually wake him to get his attention, and note what they say to him. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" It seems they're chiding him. In Matthew's gospel, where this same incident is described, their address is more of a plea or a prayer, where they say, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." I can just imagine how afraid the disciples were. I mean, the wind alone, just the noise, would have been frightening, let alone the tossing and heaving of the water. Now we see that Jesus immediately responds to the crisis, rebuking the wind and waves and saying, "Quiet, be still." He calms the noise of the wind and the actions of the waves. There is a sharp focus on Jesus as he speaks with such authority. He didn't pray to his Father first for help. He simply spoke sternly, and the forces of nature obeyed him. Just as he spoke authoritatively to the demon in the man in the synagogue at Capernaum, he said, "Be quiet, come out of him." And this impure spirit did. So this is the first time we see Jesus' control over the natural world, and it recalls a current Old Testament theme, especially in the Psalms, of God's control over wind and waves. It also recalled for me the parting of the Red Sea. But Psalm 89, verses 8 to 9 says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." And Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30, is almost a direct prophecy of this very scene in Mark with more detail. "Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." Note, the sailors were glad when it grew calm, and I'm sure the disciples were too. Psalm 65, verses 5 to 8, links God's authority over the power of the sea with his authority in human affairs. God brings peace to all circumstances, including distress among human communities and the nations. "You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." All of this speaks to the apocalyptic revelation of who Jesus is in this storm of cosmic proportions on the Sea of Galilee. It isn't just any squall. This is a physical manifestation of Emmanuel, God with us. Christ proves himself to be God, even though the disciples do not understand this yet. As Matthew Henry says, "He that made the seas can make them quiet." What I find remarkable about this short passage is that Mark's details show us both Jesus' humanity, or humanness in this, and his divinity. We see his earthly tiredness, that he sleeps on a cushion and was in the boat just as he was, in ordinariness, not dressed for travel or a supernatural battle. However, then we see his divinity in rebuking and calming the wind and the waves. They obey him. His control over the physical forces of nature was not expected by the disciples. He is Emmanuel, God, the creator of the universe. After attending to the crisis of the storm, Jesus then addresses the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples had been living and travelling with Jesus and had seen and heard what he could do. But here, in this sudden and dangerous situation, even as seasoned sailors and fishermen, they panicked, while he calmly slept, and they underestimated him. They did not see that his power applied to their own situation. Their question to him, "Don't you care if we drown?" reflects their state of distress. Of course Christ cared for them, as he has and still does for us and his people over 20 centuries. Their fear in that situation prevailed so that it seemed they had no faith and didn't trust that Jesus would not let them perish. We also, like the disciples, can underestimate Jesus' power to handle crises in our lives. The disciples did not yet know enough about Jesus, but we cannot make the same excuse. The last verse shows vividly the effect of this experience on the disciples. At first, they feared the wind and seas because they did not show enough trust in or reverence for Christ. They did not truly understand who he was. But once they saw a demonstration of his power over the forces of nature, they feared the seas less and him more. They were terrified. Some translations say they feared a great fear. They feared a great fear, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." Later on in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus walks on the water and calls Peter to him and calms the wind, they answer their own question, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are other examples of people showing fear after witnessing miracles. We learn why Jesus wanted to go to the other side of the lake immediately after in chapter 5, where he meets the demon-possessed man in the Gerasenes region. After he has exorcised the legion of demons into a herd of pigs and restored the man to his right mind and full health, the townspeople come to see what has happened. They are immediately afraid and beg Jesus to leave their neighbourhood. Similarly, the bleeding woman who touches his cloak comes forward when he wants to know who touched it, trembling with fear, to tell him that it was she who did this. But he commends her for her faith. It seems hard to understand why people would be afraid of this wonderful Saviour and Redeemer when he shows them love and heals them or brings them safely out of dangerous situations. Perhaps it is fear of the unknown, of that supernatural power. They don't want to know about it, or because they do not know Jesus well enough to trust him to keep his promises. What of your own faith and fear? Do you sometimes feel Jesus is asleep in your storm? Leaving the crowd behind and following Jesus does not guarantee us as individuals or as a church a storm-free life. And we may sometimes find ourselves, like the disciples, crying out, "Wake up! Do you not care?" Often there may be a stormy area of our own human nature where we feel God cannot or will not work. Problems occur in every area of life, and there are storms of different kinds. We have financial storms, we have emotional storms, we have relationship storms, we have storms at work, storms in the neighbourhood. The disciples needed rest, but they encountered a storm. This often happens to us when we are most vulnerable, when we're tired or ill or overworked, and we need a break. But instead, we are hit with something momentous. The Christian life may have more stormy weather than calm seas. However, when we truly understand who God is, we will realise that he has authority over the storms of nature and can help us deal with the storms of the troubled heart. Jesus' power that calmed this storm can also help us deal with the problems we face, no matter what they are. Jesus is willing to help if we only but ask him. We should never discount him, even in terrible trials. Look at Paul's long list of tribulations in our Corinthians passage today. Did Paul ever give up his faith and his hope? No. It seemed to make him stronger. As Christ followers, we need to be prepared for the storms that will surely come. Trust in him. Tell him your fears and do not surrender to the stress. Call on the Holy Spirit and ask him to fill you with resilience. With faith in Christ, you can pray, trust, and move ahead. When a squall approaches, lean into the wind and trust God. And remember, Jesus is always in the boat with you. And I can attest to this in my own life in recent times. Dealing with the emotions of grief and loss, as well as feeling overwhelmed by what was about to descend on my shoulders to sort out after the death of my father-in-law, I prayed almost every day, asking God to help me and the family, and I know others also constantly prayed for us. Instead of being daunted by the business at hand, I was overwhelmed by the grace and mercies of God that met me every day. So many things have gone smoothly, even small details, even like ringing the UK and getting through straight away and having a wonderful, compassionate person on the end of the phone. And so much unexpected help has been given by family members. I feel emotional every time I think of how God has shown me how loved I am, and a deep sense of calm has pervaded my heart and my mind. That's a lovely little child's drawing of Jesus, wake up. And it just appealed to me because I thought, wow, yes, they understand. And I like this too. Jesus cares. He controls life, death and the elements. When we think he's sleeping, he's in control. Don't accuse him of not caring. Remember this story. And he will provide peace when you need it, if you let him. So, I have to finish. I'd like to finish with a short prayer based on Psalm 46. Lord, you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We will be still and know that you are God. Amen.